That's before they strike.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
You say black,
I say white.
You say bar, I say bite.
Hello and welcome to the Sustainable Living Show on WMNF Tampa here on 88.5 FM, hosted by myself, Tanya Vidovic, and John Butts, joined every other week by local experts here to talk about all things sustainable. We want to thank our listeners, obviously, for joining in and hearing what we have to say every other week, every other Monday. Today, what we will be talking about is the topic of conversation among many, from young children and neighbors to your mayor and your city planners. What we are talking about today is bicycling. Is it a good way to get around Tampa? How safe is it in Tampa Bay? And how can we make it safer? So you can call in with your questions at 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your questions. So we have three guests today, local experts. We have Julie Bond, Josh Frank, and Jim Shirk. Jim Shirk is actually joining us via telephone, Washington, D.C. He's there learning and finding out all the great things about bicycling and how to make it better in Tampa Bay. So, hello, welcome. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Julie, let's start with you. Can you kind of explain what your role in bicycling is in Tampa Bay?
Sure. I am a researcher at the Center for Urban Transportation Research, otherwise known as CUTR. We're located at the University of South Florida's Tampa campus. I've been there for about 13 years, and one of my main projects is working with bicycle and pedestrian safety and encouragement. I also work heavily with transportation demand management strategies for the area, which encourages people to walk, bike, take transit, or do something else other than driving their car.
And Josh Frank, you are a local urban designer, right? So if you want to explain kind of what you do for our listeners?
Sure. So I'm an urban designer and principal of Wide Open Office. It's a local office here in Tampa. And I'm also the president of the Urban Charrette, which is a nonprofit advocating for bike and ped safety, as well as community engagement, transportation. So what I do as an urban designer is a little bit different from an urban planner or an architect, and even though I have a background as an architect as well, we basically focus on designing the public realm. So anything that's not a air-conditioned structure, everything from streetscapes, sidewalks, parks, plazas, anything that would really belong to the public is something I specialize in designing.
Awesome. And Jim, you are a local bicycling advocate, and you are everywhere bicycling is. Would you kind of explain your background and what you do for bicycling in Tampa Bay?
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. My background is, I'm a civil engineer, and I've been civil engineering now for about 50 years. And my principal desire is to get as many people on bikes as we can, as safely as we can, to get as many people riding and making their daily life without a car, because cars are enemies of cities, and we desperately need to get away from them. And the only way to do that is to get people on an alternative modes of transportation. Josh, thanks for working on that, getting people into other modes. And Julie, thank you very much again. Anyway, thanks for having me on.
No, thank you for joining us. And you know, it's funny, we were all kind of meeting in the break room right before this, and one of John's customers, and I guess they're customers of each other, Greg from Pizza Gregaria was in, and we were talking about bicycling in Tampa Bay and how he chose his location, specifically his pizzeria, close to his house, so that he is able to bike back and forth. And he's committed to this idea of sustainability. Like, he wants to be able to commute and to not have to drive in his car every day. And you know, it's wonderful that, and he buys organic produce from John. So John owns an organic farm. So it all connects, and it makes a great community. Is that something that you value, John, in pizza?
Well, you know, I love my bike, and Julie's trying to get people to
make a commitment to ride a bike for what? Oh, it's more than a month, isn't it? How's it?
Yes. Well, March is Florida Bike Month, okay. And so we're celebrating that, and we really kicked it off quickly. So on February 28th, we had the first ever USF Transportation Day, and we had an open streets event where we closed the street, people biked and walked, and we painted a lane green. And then on March 1st, we had the City of Temple Terrace Bike with the Mayor event. We went on to have a children's rodeo event. Last Friday, we had a very large Tampa Bike to Work Day, and Karen Kress with the Tampa Downtown Partnership was instrumental in getting quite a few people out to bike to work. And we also had a bike event in Largo. So it has been really huge and happening this month. And we also have our new Tampa Bay Commuters campaign, which we are referencing. So if you go to TampaBayCommuters.com, you can pledge to ride your bike this month. And we have prizes that have been donated by different bike shops and entities, and we're going to have a lot of fun with that. You make a pledge, you can put a photo of yourself or anything you'd like, and we're trying to create a community of people taking other modes through Tampa Bay Commuters.
And you have some of those t-shirts here. So
we do.
And if you want to make the pledge, you can come by the station right now. And
exactly. We'd love you to do that. Yeah. And this month we're pledging to ride your bicycle, but you can also pledge to take transit, to telework, to walk. If you can't bicycle, we also have other options that if you want to take a green transportation mode.
Mm-hmm. Anything that's not a car.
Yes. we do have carpooling, though.
Oh, okay.
So you can pledge to carpool, which does help, eliminate car trips.
No, those are all wonderful things happening in the community. And we want to kind of talk about the bigger picture as far as, like, why is... Because some people, they don't understand that bicycling is a better solution for not only your personal health, but the environment. I mean, how do you guys feel about bikeability being the more sustainable option?
Well, I think it's sort of what Julie was alluding to with the commuter's challenge is that, it's not just bikeability, but it's all forms of mobility that get you out of a single occupancy vehicle, whether it's biking or walking or taking transit. Either way, you're going to have a component of getting out and moving, which is a form of exercise that would be a little better than sitting in your car for an hour and a half.
So going into that, so then if it's better for you, and better for the environment, why isn't everybody doing it?
Well, it seems
obvious to people who bike and who try to do it, but for people who don't, it's not on their forefront of what they think, then they may not know. Why isn't everybody biking and walking and taking public transportation?
Well, I think...
Go
ahead, Jim.
Okay. I think it's because of safety or lack of safety, both real and perceived. You'll notice that the places where they have protected bike lanes and where they prioritize bicycling and scooters over cars, more people ride on bikes. I know a lot of people who resist biking just because they're afraid of it, and they're afraid of it, frankly, with good reason, especially in Tampa.
Well, see, exactly. I mean... And that's one of the problems, is that it's a pretty dangerous place to bike in Tampa Bay. Do you guys have any insight on why you think that it's more dangerous here than in other areas of the country?
Well, I think the biggest reason is our lack of other options. Most other cities, biking is not usually the primary mode of transportation for people. Most often, it's an accessory. So you're taking transit with your bike, and that's going a greater distance, and then you're getting off on that first mile, last mile, or you're using your bike to get from the station to your house or to work. So we're missing that middle piece, right? So if I was living in USF, near USF, and I wanted to get to downtown, biking that distance is really long and often uncomfortable with our climate when it rains at 5 o'clock, during the summer. But really, it's the safety component that Jim alluded to, in addition to the lack of options. So I could take HART, but it doesn't run as frequently, right? So now with All for Transportation, which I'm sure we'll talk about, that's going to change, I think.
Well, and then also, as far as options go, I immediately think of complete streets. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Can you kind of explain to you, or either one of you, explain exactly what complete streets are to our listeners?
So I think there's two components to complete streets. There's the built side, which is everything from your choice of fixtures, to which it would be streetlights, benches, your curbs, your materials, all that sort of thing that, that I deal with on a day-to-day basis. But also there's the non-built side of things. So it's the zoning, it's the density, it's how far apart buildings are from one another, how big the blocks are. Those are all things that on the planning side of things are just as important, I think, to a complete street than the actual components that people picture in their mind when you say, oh, what's a complete street? Oh, it's got bike lanes, it's got parking, it's, you know, got trees, all that sort of stuff.
But, and so I know for me, I mean, even the bike lanes that sometimes we have, I mean, we have them on 50 mile an hour roads, mm-hmm. which is terrifying if there's no, if there's no middle ground in between that separates you from the car. So even though some of our streets have bike lanes, they're still uncomfortable, especially if, like, you have, if you're traveling, you know, with young children and everything. So in your mind, what's like kind of like a perfect ideal vision for?
Well, I'd have to say first, I would counter on that, that the Tampa Bay area is one of the best places to bicycle. I mean, there is an amazing bicycle community here. There are rides almost every day if you're a recreational bicyclist.
Yes.
There, and you know, if you are commuting to work, I always suggest plan your route, because there, if you don't want to, it's all about your comfort level. So if you want to bike here, plan your route, and there could be other ways to go than riding down that 55 mile an hour road that you're talking about that, yes. that has bike lanes. And there are all kinds of projects going on in the Tampa Bay area, from protected bike lanes to buffered bike lanes to green bike lanes, and there are new trails coming in that some commuters may be able to take, and then they can plan that route and then take a road that they feel comfortable on, because different cyclists have different levels of comfort. We have to acknowledge that. We have to plan for everyone, and we have to make our streets safe for everyone and every level of bicyclist out there.
And those are great points. I mean, me and my husband and my family, we bike around Tampa Bay all the time, and we do use it as a mode of transportation. A lot of the time, if it's less than, you know, 4 miles, we're usually there via bicycle, sweaty in there, but there. Now, you talk about planning a route. Is there any local apps that people use? I usually just use Google and just click the little bicycle on there and kind of plan, because they take into account a slower streets, streets with bike lanes. Like, is there any apps that are great to use?
Sure. I mean, there are many apps to use, and what you're doing, you know, is a good way to find different routes. Also on bikewalktampabay.com, we have a page that compiles all the different apps and different ways that you can plan your route. I use Strava, so every time I go out and ride, I use Strava, and my route is mapped with hundreds and hundreds of other people in the Tampa Bay area riding. So there are multiple ways, and Josh, you may use another app.
I use Open Streets, actually. Open Streets has got bike lanes and everything in it, and in terms of data. It's a little bit more nuanced than Google Maps, but yeah, it's great.
Awesome. No, that's a great option. Open Streets, that's an app, or is that a website?
I think it's a website. I don't know if they have an app. I'm not positive.
Cool. And it looks like we have a caller. Mehdi from Tampa. Are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I used to love riding my bicycle, and I got ran over. Now I'm in a wheelchair. I don't know what Kool-Aid you guys are drinking, but we live in the most dangerous city, I want to swear, either for the state and then maybe for the country. I got ran over in 03, and the numbers are still up there for pedestrians and bicycles getting run over. Where do you think that you guys can tell everybody to ride their bicycle, but we're the most dangerous city? I mean, you guys ought to be riding around and getting people to get their bus to the voting booth and vote. I mean, we voted for a mayor with only 18% of the people showing up. And that's what's happening with the bicycle laws. I mean, why are you allowing the city to be so dangerous?
Well, Josh, I don't know if you want to take this, but I think that's part of education, and then also infrastructure. Creating a safe area for bicyclists to bike is vital, and that's why we're having this conversation today, is that it is more sustainable, and also we want to create a safe area and make sure that we are planning for it. But Josh, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. The caller is absolutely right. Florida is one of the most dangerous places for bike and peds in the country, and Tampa is, I believe, in the top 10 in terms of cities and across the country. And so part of what I think All for Transportation is going to do is help solve that. You know, to me, we have to look at this as a big picture. You know, roads have existed for a long time, right, since the Romans, basically. And so for that time, technology has changed, and the roadway has accommodated that change over time. But primarily the use is for people.
Whatever anyone says in the city, they still think, and they need to take a shower. They need to reduce the speed limit. They need to do everything that they need to go find a city that's number one in keeping their pedestrians alive.
Well, and that's what I think the city of Tampa is, and also the Tampa Bay community is working on. We're working on trying to make it safer for everybody to be able to commute in a more sustainable fashion. And I just want to say I'm so sorry that a car hurt you, but that's a great point. Educating our drivers is invaluable.
NASCAR mentality. These kids I live off Hines. You go on Hines around 5 o'clock, they're racing like they're at Daytona. But I'm telling you, nothing has changed. I can hear all this verbiage, but I want to see literally things radically done, like speed limits, more stop signs, more stoplights.
And you're absolutely right. We definitely need to get people into the local city council offices to make sure and call our state representatives to demand that these actions happen.
You're riding in the wrong direction. You ought to be riding to get the laws changed, and then you would be attracting people that know current events.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And I think one thing that we've seen is that one of the biggest referendums on pedestrian and bike safety is the All for Transportation ballot, which passed by an overwhelming majority. And the majority of those funds are going to go towards bike and ped improvements, not necessarily road expansion. It's going to go to intersection improvements and more bike lanes and more buffered bike lanes and more street trees.
I don't think that's the cure. I think they just pulled that out of their hat.
All right, Mehdi. Well, thank you so much for calling. We're going to get to another caller. All right.
Yeah.
We have, it looks like, is it Tom from St. Petersburg? Tom, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
I consider myself an avid weekend warrior on a bike. I ride downtown St. Pete every weekend, 30, 40 miles a week. And I tell you, I got a couple of suggestions. First of all, these smart lights that we got in our town that, you know, they're triggered. I like to call them that they're cocked because you see that the no walking lights are flashing. And, you know, the moment a car pulls up, the light turns. And those lights, I tell you what, if you don't push the button to cross the street like you're riding down the sidewalk, the light turns green. A lot of these lights only stay green for 6 seconds. I mean, I've timed this out. It's really frustrating. You know, I see the light turn green. All right, I'm going to make it. And then, you know, 6 seconds later, it's turning yellow, and I'm either crossing on a yellow light or I'm slamming on my brakes. And, you know, and in Florida, this brings me to my second point, which is riding a bicycle, even at night in Florida, most of the time, 90% of the year, it's hot. You know, after you ride 4 or 5 miles, you're breaking a sweat unless you're really taking your time or unless there's a hurricane or a tropical storm out there to cool you down.
Better hot than snow, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Seriously. Well, at least we have the ability to ride our bikes. Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, I mean, we love it. Yeah, we show up sweaty, but, man, we do. I mean, we show up, and it's part of a healthy community. Go ahead, Julie. It's something to say.
And also, the city of St. Petersburg is very receptive to listening to its customers, its residents, and they are very devoted in making St. Petersburg a great place to ride your bicycle. So they have a lot of great projects, but they're willing to listen, and so you know, that's an avenue for you also is you can talk to their planners about the issues you discussed, but they're very receptive. They're working very hard to make that a great bicycle community.
Mm-hmm. And
absolutely.
And just to follow up on what I was saying before, you know, I think that part of the problem when you talk about a 6 second crossing signal and some of the technical side of things where the pedestrian is sort of at fault. I think it's a systemic change, and kind of where I was going before was that for a long time our roads have sort of accommodated technology, but they've been primarily public space for people. And whether that's a streetcar or whether that's a horse and buggy, whatever, the street has sort of accommodated that. And somewhere in the past 100 years, that has gone from when the car was introduced and became the primary mode of transportation, it became the opposite, that streets now belong to cars and they've been accommodating people. And I think part of what we need to do as a region and as a country is to sort of shift that dialogue back to having our public spaces and our streets and roadways having a priority for people, where that doesn't happen and you don't have the 6-second beg button, you know, scenario that was described. Instead, it's inherently pedestrian and bike friendly.
So if urban design is already in place in this area, is there something that we can do right now to kind of move and shift that direction to make it more safe? Like, what can we do now to help bicycling and being able to walk safely in the Tampa Bay?
Well, I think the biggest thing that a citizen can do is to become active in their community, go to your city council meetings, talk to your planners. Everyone is very receptive right now. Everyone is working really hard to make change and make it safer. And so we just need everyone to make this shift. We are working, you know, there are more complete streets projects coming in. I know it can't come in fast enough, but people are working on it, and just please get involved with your community. You can make change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In conclusion, if I might just say, in conclusion, the remedies that I was about to propose are, I suggest that we have cooling stations, especially at destinations like downtown. You know, nice big hurricane fans on a couple of the corners where the bike racks are. Baywalk comes to mind, would be nice. I suggest porta potties or some sort of a public restroom situation. You know, if you're properly hydrated after a nice long ride, you gotta go. And, you know, you don't want to just jump into a bar or one of these places while you're, you know, you're still sweaty. And lastly, public lockers, I think, would be a great idea to be able to store some of our stuff, especially if it's going to be some rain around. So I thought I'd throw that out there. And thank you guys for what you do.
Thanks for calling in. I appreciate
it. Great suggestions.
Again, you are listening to 88.5 Tampa, the Sustainable Living Show, here with Tanya Vidovic and John Butts and Frank Knox today. And we have some amazing guests. We have Julie, John, and Josh, actually, here today answering all of your...
And Jim.
And Jim, yeah.
Quadruple J.
And John, seriously, I'm the only T here. But we're here to answer your bicycling questions. So if you have any questions, feel free to email them at dj@wmnf.org. You can call us at 813-239-9663. We would love to hear from you. And you can text 813-433-0885. And we have more callers on the line. So who do we have up next?
John.
We have John from Port Richey. Do you have any questions for us, John?
Thanks for the show. I live about 5 miles from work, and I could probably bike there pretty easy, but your caller brought up one of my main issues, is that when I get there, I would just be drenched in sweat, so I can't really wear my work clothes. I'd have to wear biking clothes, go to work, store them somewhere at work while they're all sweaty, and I would want to take a shower, clean up, change into my work clothes, and then go back to work. So that's my main issue right there, is it's just impractical for me to bike to work because I just can't do it. You know, the safety issue is a big thing too, but still, I just can't get past that first hurdle of how do I do this? Do I drop clothes off at work and then leave it there? I need to have a locker. I need to have a space for me to keep my stuff in. Do you see what I'm saying? It's just the logistics of it.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally valid. And one of the things we talked about last question was, how do we begin to have an effect on some of this in terms of change in our area? And I think culturally, businesses need to, if they have employees that are interested in biking to work, to accommodate that, whether that's having showers or lockers or something like that. You know, it's fairly common elsewhere in the country and in the world to accommodate people who want to bike or take transit to say, hey, you know what, we're going to have a shower for those those who want to, you know, get clean before they get to work and change clothes. But it's something that, that businesses can do.
That's
well.
That's a great suggestion.
I wanted to mention we have a national program at Qatar that's called Best Workplaces for Commuters, and we do work locally with employers who are looking to encourage bicycling or other modes to work, and we do work with them to suggest, you know, showers and lockers. If that is not a possibility, there may be, you know, a local Y where you can shower, or some other location that, or your gym that may allow you to shower. So we work with these employers to offer suggestions and solutions to make it easier for people like you who want to bike to work.
And then also providing a bike rack, too.
Yes.
Having employers provide a safe place for your to lock your bicycle up at work, too. I mean, these are all great options that employers really need to start taking into consideration.
Yes.
And isn't some City of Tampa employers also offering a rebate in their paycheck for biking to work so that you're not... I just read about it. I don't know if I took notes or not, but there's a local company, I forget exactly who it is, but is giving a rebate for people who bike to work because it's less, I guess they have to pay for their parking spots for their employees, so they're giving that rebate to them. So, I mean, there's incentives that you can do as an employer to make it, you know, obviously a better option for your employees.
Mm-hmm. And those are pretty commonplace throughout the rest of the country, in big cities especially.
This is Jim. One of the things we're doing, I'm here at the National, in D.C. for the National Bike Summit, and one of the things we're doing is trying to get a change in the tax code to kind of loosen up that $20 a month tax-free incentive to employers for commuters. And that already you can get up to a couple hundred a month to reimburse you for transportation, I mean for transit. We need to expand the... what you can get if you ride a bike, and to include things like YMCA membership as a commuter, to allow you to address the earlier caller about finding a place to change and clean up and you're ready to go to work. And maybe we should also look at places like the McDonald's Center in Chicago, where they have bike parking, clothing storage, and showers. So you ride your bike into downtown, lock it up, clean up, go to work.
Yeah, those are, I mean, that's really what we need to be working towards, is a more sustainable place to work, more sustainable streets, and a more sustainable us. So in you guys' opinions, I mean, because you are avid bicyclists and involved in the community, all three of you, I mean, are there any communities in the Tampa Bay area that are doing it right, or even bigger than the Tampa Bay area? Have you guys visited any places that are really just doing it right as far as transportation and sustainability, walkability, bikeability?
Chicago is much more bike-friendly than Tampa, but the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Daley the younger, was an avid cyclist, like a 60 mile per weekend rider, and they made biking a high priority in all areas of life in Chicago.
I think most major American big cities have actually done a lot in the past couple decades to catch up to our European counterparts. Obviously, when cyclist culture comes to mind, people think of Copenhagen and Amsterdam and, you know, Paris, which is now completely car-free in their urban center. Those are cities that, you know, maybe aren't exactly comparable to the U.S., but are definitely ahead of where we're at. And in Florida, I think St. Petersburg is actually one of the forefront cities in Florida, especially within our area. I think we just had, what was it, MLK that just became a buffered bike lane on MLK. So, you know, decisions like that, I think with Mayor Kreisman and what's happening in St. Peter has been really great.
Also, I have to put a plug in for the city I live in, the city of Temple Terrace, because I did choose to live there because it's 3 miles to commute from my home to USF, and they have a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit, and so that makes it very friendly for bicycling, and the city is very supportive of bicycling. So that's an example of a small city that I feel comfortable biking in. I can bike to work, I can bike around to other places, but I would agree with Josh, the city of St. Petersburg is a great example. If you've ever ridden the Pinellas Trail, if you stop in some of those little towns, Tarpon Springs, and you know, you can stop along the trail and eat, and there's bike lanes, and Dunedin is a great example. Dunedin Garden is a really great place to bike around. So we have some really good examples in this area of very bikeable communities.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. And again, you were listening to the Sustainable Living Show here on 88.5, hosted by John Butts and Tanya Vidovic. And today we are talking about bicycling in Tampa Bay and how it is the more sustainable option. We have a bunch of people on hold waiting to ask questions or make their comments. So who do we have up next?
Eric in Tampa.
Eric in Tampa, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Well, I have a question or a comment or both.
Sure.
I live in Tampa Heights area, and there are many, many folks that drive up and down the street. They'll go the wrong way on the road. They'll get the bike lane and go the wrong way. They'll go down sidewalks. They'll cross the middle of the road. And I'm just curious on the specifics of the deaths in Florida or even in Tampa, how many of those are caused by people doing stupid things?
Probably a lot of them. I mean, that's the thing, is that education for drivers, it doesn't really happen. I mean, even most drivers aren't even aware that there's a 3-foot law that you can't actually drive in bicycle lanes. Like, they don't know what it is. So it's educating our drivers, and I would think, like, having that be a part of it. You know, when you take your driver's test, it is how to do it safely, how to drive your car safely with other modes of transportation.
I think it's that, and it's also valuing that in our built environment. Too often do we see 2-foot bike lanes that have been striped on 2 roads just because that's what was available. Most cities are doing 5-foot, right, as a standard. So I think understanding that this is gonna be here, and then really, really being fully on board with that decision, that to me, that means that sacrifice is gonna have to come from somewhere else. And so how do you accommodate that is a question that every road is different, every community has different priorities, and so really it's about trying to figure out how to best balance all of those questions together, but also making it safe for everybody.
So when you say priority, I mean, do you think that bicycling in Tampa Bay is a priority to our people in politics in this area?
I think it is. I mean, I think we've heard a lot about complete streets and transportation and mobility and all the buzzwords that got talked a lot about in the election. How that shakes out in the end, we'll see. But I think in terms of the community, it's huge. The amount of people who walk and bike in Tampa, and Julie, you're absolutely right. This is one of the best places to be a pedestrian in terms of climate. And, I mean, I would rather be in the heat than the snow, personally.
And you know what's funny? And that's a conversation that we have, or I have with a lot of people. They're like, look, like so many bicyclists are dying in Tampa, because we do. We have a lot. We have like 100 a year. But on the other end, there's a lot of people out there biking. Like, the reason why people are getting hit, obviously, is that it's not safe, but there are people out there biking, and this is their modes of transportation, because we do live in an area that it is available. Now, and you bring up in the mayoral election, it was a topic of conversation pretty much in a lot of the debates. Are there any local champions as far as who are really fighting for bicycle rights, pedestrian rights in our local political scenes?
Good question. Not as an individual component, but in terms of transportation, I think we have a lot of newly elected city council members and potential mayoral candidates who are definitely pro transportation, pro mobility. But in terms of bikeability, it's still sort of an isolated thing, I think, sometimes for our local politicians, it's easier just to say safe streets and complete streets.
I would also have to say, the Florida Department of Transportation Secretary David Gwynn, he has been coming out to all the events. He is so supportive of bicyclist and pedestrian initiatives, and he's been coming out. He is trying to do his best to make this top priority. And so, I mean, we are seeing change. I've been here for about 13 years, and it has really become a top issue and a top topic with city leaders, different agency leaders. And so I think that we're going to see a lot of really great changes coming in the future.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like we still have... All right, Eric, thank you so much for calling. Do you have any other questions before we go to the next caller?
Yeah, maybe I wasn't clear about what my question was. It's not about the drivers, even though drivers are culpable. costume. They're not aware of how to treat bicyclists. But my main question is that, you know, what are the statistics about people that go the wrong way on the bike lane or cross in the middle of the road? And how many of those folks are being killed or injured?
I'm not sure about those statistics. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know about those exact statistics, but I think the thing that we can all take away is that Florida is again one of the worst states for bike and ped, and there's a variety of reasons why that is, and it's a combination of everything from, you know, lack of lighting to education, and all of those things we can get better at.
Okay, this is Jim Shirk again. If I can weigh in on this issue,
sure.
About 50% of all bike crashes are caused by biker error, not driver error. The only way to get a handle on that is to be more proactive in terms of reaching out to the bicycle-dependent community, i.e. the guy that has to ride a bike or the woman who has to ride a bike to work because they don't have any other choice. And some of the people at the MPO have been very aggressive in terms of trying to get out there and get that message out to the underserved community. A lot of times the people that are riding the wrong way, what we call salmon riders, are people who just don't know any better and are, you know, they're convinced that you're supposed to ride against traffic, just like you're supposed to walk against traffic. It's an outreach issue, and it's, you know, don't blame the ignorant person, blame the system that keeps them ignorant. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Eric. We have a few other people waiting in line, so thanks for calling. And let's go to our next caller, which is, it looks like, Rick in St. Pete. Is that right?
We can do that.
Rick in St. Pete, are you there?
I am here. I'm a long-term resident of St. Petersburg, and I'm all for the bikes, but, you know, honestly, the people that ride their bikes downtown have notoriously been extremely rude. I mean, they got a terrible reputation for being rude to the drivers down there. So that's all I got to say. They need to wake up, stop treating drivers like we're second-class citizens.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Yes, yes.
All right. And who do we have up next, Frank?
Looks like Chip from Tampa.
Chip from Tampa. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. First thing I want to say is, anyone who's riding a bike, I really don't understand why you wouldn't have a rear view mirror. And so I really push for that. And the second thing, my greatest concern is speed of motorists. And there's a huge difference, even if you're in a bike lane. You know, if cars are doing 45, 55, it's pretty intimidating. I've learned to live with it over 30 years of riding, but I think it probably scares a lot of other potential cyclists from taking their bikes out. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to see speed limits seem to have been lowered on a lot of roads around the area. I'd like to see a little more of that, and especially enforcement of existing speed limits. And I think that would be a big enticement to get more people out riding. It would also be huge for other forms of non-motorized or low-impact motorized transportation, like everything from skateboards to e-bikes to motor scooters. And also, I think the use of more rotaries and better synchronized lights, you could keep traffic flow the same or even improve it instead of people racing from red light to red light.
You know, that's absolutely right. And, you know, one thing I think the statistics prove out is that if somebody's going 25 miles an hour and hits you, you have a pretty significant chance of living. If somebody's going 35 miles per hour and somebody hits you, I think that the chance of you living is actually significantly less. Mm-hmm. So the difference between 10 miles an hour makes a really, really big difference. And so part of what I think I'm advocating for in a lot of instances, and what we I think together need to sort of work towards, is what I meant previously when I said we need to fully adopt this as something that's going to be part of our vision moving forward, because just lowering the speed limits doesn't do much if you're not reducing the width of the lanes, if you're not adding more stoplights or more stop signs, if you're not changing from asphalt to brick, which slows people down, or doing all the other variety of things that you can do within a streetscape to bring the speed down beyond just changing the numbers on a sign, because ultimately that really doesn't do a whole lot in terms of changing drivers' speeds. In addition to that, we have a lot of standards and a lot of roadways and potentially even in rules and laws that are based off of cars that were, you know, from the 1950s and 60s, which were half as heavy as they are today, half as big as they are today. More people are driving SUVs and trucks than they are cars. And so, you know, how do we begin to shift towards a culture where we can accommodate drivers so they're not second-class citizens, like Rick was saying, you know, but also accommodate people on bikes safely? Because, again, the public realm of our streets is shared by all. So
that's no, you're absolutely right. Well, thank you for your call. And you're listening to 88.5, the Sustainable Living Show here in Tampa. And it looks like, John, do we have some emails?
Yeah, we have one here from Elijah. I'm not quite sure where she, but it reads like, I'm a victim of a hit and run 2 years ago that broke two of my vertebrae, five of my ribs, and I received traumatic brain injury. My first bill was over $500,000 from the ICU, and that wasn't even including my ambulance ride. My bike was taken care of due to the damage, because the damage insurance, because the people had damage insurance, but they did not have injury insurance. So my big issue is the Florida law that does not require drivers to hold injury insurance, because now I'm stuck with over $500,000 worth of medical bills.
Man, I'm so sorry to hear that. And sadly, it happens a lot, where bicyclists are hit. And, you know, I'm sure everybody knows, I'm a firefighter. And when I hear over, you know, over the radio that it was a cyclist versus motor vehicle, I mean, my heart drops every time. There's a lot of things that we could be doing, obviously, that to make it better for everybody, including, yeah, requiring people to have those sort of insurances. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any takes on that?
Well, my only take would be, I don't know much about the insurance industry and that side of things, but again, it's an endemic problem where we're allowing our roadways to be designed for efficiency, and whether that means speed or capacity or, you know, ease of access, it's really only efficiency for one subset of the users. And when that happens, there's going to be major conflict. I mean, you don't get injuries like that being hit at 15 miles an hour. You just don't. Unless you're, you know, 80 years old, perhaps.
Yeah.
But getting an equitable return on our public space, I think, is paramount.
No, you're absolutely right. Julie, do you have your...
Yeah, no, I agree with Josh. And I want to tell the caller, very sorry that happened to her. And I hope you're doing better. But yeah, I agree with Josh. I mean, that's something that we need to look at. And yes, there is an issue with the insurance.
Well, and finding vehicles responsible is a big part of it too. I know that Alan Snell, who was a local Tampa Bay bicycling advocate, he was hit when somebody fell asleep at the wheel. He, I guess, a person had a history of seizures and also had a history of, or maybe falling asleep randomly. And the driver was found, I guess, not at fault. And Alan was left with broken, I think, C-spine. I mean, that needs to change. I mean, if drivers are driving in a way that's endangering other people, obviously they need to be held accountable for it.
Yeah, and let's be clear, too. It's not just bicyclists and pedestrians that are being impacted by this. It's
bad drivers, you mean?
Yeah, it's drivers across the board. I mean, the amount of car insurance that we pay in our area is higher than pretty much anywhere else in the country for a reason. It's because we drive more and we get in more accidents. And so this isn't just about, you know, bike and ped safety. This is about mobility in general. I think one thing that gets overlooked a lot too, and we haven't really even talked about, is the people who are actually riding bikes, right? A lot of them are unable, like Jim said, to afford to have a car, right? So their bike and their feet are their primary modes of transportation because they can't afford anything else. And those are sometimes the most vulnerable when you talk about insurance and some of the other secondary costs.
No, definitely. And that brings up a good point, too. The people that actually are using this as a mode of their transportation to get to work, I mean, as far as Tampa Bay goes, how, you know, I know that, Josh, you had a suggestion as far as connecting communities in 275, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there, you had a, I mean, I think that you were, there's a few articles about that as far. We just cut out for a second. But what was your perspective as far as being able, as with walkability, bikeability, connecting communities so that it makes it more of a priority to be able to get where you need to go via walkable, bikeable?
Yeah, so I mean, really, to me, it goes down to one sort of core ethos, and that is that this is a systemic issue, and there needs to be systemic change. There's a reason why when we developed and platted neighborhoods and cities, they're grids, right? They're simple, they're easy to navigate. Intersections are a little bit more frequent, perhaps, but they're easy to cross because they're shorter in terms of width. So getting back to the understanding that the pedestrian and the bicyclist is sort of at the forefront, we design for them, and the rest will take care of itself. I've never seen a road that's designed really great for bikes and for peds that's really bad for cars, right? So your commute is 2 minutes longer. You won't be able to tell me what 2 minutes is in terms of time. Maybe you get to listen to one more song on the radio or something like that. But really, I'm a firm believer in that you design for people first, and then you plan for the efficiencies around that. So you establish a hierarchy and go from there.
And one of the programs that I manage, we are actually out on different corridors, different streets in Hillsborough and Pinellas and Pasco County, talking to people who are using the roads. They're biking, they're walking. Many of them are going to bus stops, so they may ride their bike a part way. They wait at the bus stop, they get on the bus, and we're talking to them and gathering their input and making them feel like we really care about them, and we're hoping to make some change by doing this. We provide a lot of education for bicyclists and pedestrians and also drivers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's about all users and about building that community. And, you know, everyone needs to understand that people are just getting where they need to go. And they may be going a different way than you or I may be going, and we need to understand that's the way they get around and look out for them.
Yeah, and one last thing too that I'd like to bring up too is that this isn't a driver versus cyclist conversation. I think there's a solution for all of the users of our public realm, where everybody, you know, gets a fair return. I think, you know, sacrificing speed limit for signal phasing, right, is something where maybe you've got more signals and the you know, perception is that, oh, if I have more signals and the speed limit's lower, it's going to take me longer. But actually, there are ways to time those out so that way it's more efficient for you as a driver, as opposed to going 50 miles an hour with less signals where you're stopping and going more frequently. So it doesn't have to be a zero-sum game for either side. Really, I think there's a lot of different specific, again, it's unique to each context, but I think there's a way, and our perception and reality should be that, look, we got to design for those people who are going to potentially get killed if they get hit by something, as opposed to maybe just dent their fender.
And it looks like we have some more callers. Is there anybody that's waiting for a while?
Ron from Mango,
welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling.
Bikes have been one of my fetishes since I was a kid. I grew up where they had the monkey bar, handlebars, and the banana seat, and I actually had to carry my sister on the handlebars to the daycare while she was maybe an infant. And my parents trusted me, and I had to develop instincts for myself to be able to ride like that. And later went on the catwalk, you know, ride backwards, and ghost ride, everything that you can do with a bike. So I was kind of fortunate, and unlike some other people, but on the same side of that, my daughter, you know, I rode my bike to work the first couple of years that I worked for the county for Parks and Rec, and the kids used to enjoy it when I pull up, but it was electric, so it was three-wheel electric, and I was trying to implement that way back then because I saw it useless to ride like 3 miles with my car and then come back home, and I'm paying insurance. Actually, I still paid insurance. So it was a double whammy, but I have a couple of suggestions.
Sure.
And I'll say that. What I want to say, though, my daughter up on Fowler Avenue, there was a scientist killed up there, and my daughter stopped and was with her. She died, unfortunately. And she was riding a bike, and she was an avid bike rider. So it fits across spectrums with people that like bikes and enjoy that. So they afterwards implemented the bike lane, which I find very frightening because it's still even worse if you see a whole bunch of bikers at one time, and these people are speeding, switching lanes at tremendous speeds and with no concern. So I think that one way to... Sorry about that, that's the washer. But I think the one way to satisfy, it should have been done like the young gentleman was just saying about design and planning. They implemented the in the lane in with cars, which was the problem from the beginning. So they should have made a sidewalk there, or even widened the sidewalk for bikes and have the lines there. And then when you come to inner city, maybe you have the in the street lane. So you know what I'm saying? You don't have
a separate bike lane is what you're talking about, with like a median in the center. Those are marvelous to ride on. Dunedin has a lot of those, I think.
City of Tampa has too.
Yeah.
Even our sidewalks should have been even further designed to implement, like the guy was saying, they're very rude sometimes because you're speeding on your bike like a car and people are just loitering on the sidewalk. So there should be a little extra space there, I'm saying, for that purpose. And that also gives a little more safety to the rider.
The problem with riding on sidewalks, though, is that the stop sign is often after the sidewalk. So when cars pull up to the stop sign, they've already passed the sidewalk and they haven't really slowed down yet. So a lot of the people that get seriously injured on bicycles is people riding on the sidewalk. So if there's no through streets that cut through that sidewalk, 100%, that's a good option. But if there's side streets that cut through that sidewalk, it can actually be more dangerous. But we actually have only a couple minutes left, and we have another caller. Is there another question that you have?
No, I just wanted to throw that in there because I think there's some more implemented design. And parks, we have parks for riding as well, so you don't have to ride on the street.
And that's a great point, too. We have a lot of trails, and I think that there's another, what is that, the coast-to-coast trail that they're going to be working on, too? Mm-hmm. So Tampa Bay is full of trails. If you want to ride your bike, but you are a little hesitant to riding in the street. Oh, John, do we have some more emails,
too? Yeah, you know, Marcy just sent something about that same issue from a driver's standpoint. I have a problem with bicyclists on sidewalks going against the flow of traffic. Usually it is if I'm driving and making a right-hand turning, and there's a bike coming against traffic on the sidewalk. I'm looking to the left for oncoming traffic so I can turn. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I think that it's being aware. You have to be aware as a bicyclist. You have to be aware as a driver. You have to be respectful as a bicyclist. And you have to be respectful as a driver, too.
Well, I think as a driver, you know, we all drive. I think we have to understand, too, that there's a reason why people are riding on the sidewalks. It's because the roadway is not safe enough for them to feel like they can ride on the road.
No, you're absolutely right. And then we actually only have a couple minutes left here on the show on sustainable living. So do you guys, Josh, Julie, Jim, do you guys want to kind of give what you do and how to contact you if our listeners have more questions for you? Julie?
Sure. You can contact me via email. It's jmbond@usf.edu. Easy email to remember, or you can go to the Cutter website, or bikewalktampabay.com is another great resource, and you can contact me through that website.
Yep, and again, you can find me on Twitter is the easiest place to find me. It's @JoshAFrank. That's JoshAFrank, and you can find everything about me from there.
Perfect. Jim?
I'm at shirkje@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And this has been a great show. And I want to thank the listeners for you know, listening, calling in with your questions, emailing. You are listening to the Sustainable Living Show here every other Monday on 88.5 at 10 a.m. And next month, we are going to be talking about sustainable business practicing and composting. John, do you have anything to say?
Well, I was going to just ask Julie to tell us one more time about how we can get that free T-shirt.
Yes.
Everyone wants the free T-shirt.
Go to TampaBayCommuters.com, and you can find a transportation mode. You can bike, walk, telework, take transit, and we're going to have fun activities throughout the end of June. So we hope everyone will participate and share with others that there are other ways to get around that are healthy and sustainable.
Wonderful. And I think, John, do we have any more emails?
Well, I think we got maybe a quick call I guess they're gone.
Okay. Well, you know what? We have a couple more minutes. So maybe let's talk about the trails that we have here in Tampa Bay, because there are some good ones. Are there any of your favorite places to bike around Tampa Bay that you guys want to kind of talk about?
I'm an urban cyclist, so to me the Riverwalk is the best it gets. You can't beat it. I know there's a lot of people who probably ride too fast on the Riverwalk, so that's a big point of contention between it's like rival gangs, like West Side Story, right? It's like the bikers versus the walkers, but that's my favorite spot.
Yeah. How about you, Julie?
One of my favorites is going over the Courtney Campbell Causeway. You can connect to the Ream Wilson Trail, and you can connect to the Pinellas Trail. So if you want to have a great ride where you aren't riding on the road, that's a fun recreational ride. But there are so many trails in this area. And another one that I'm close to is Flatwoods. You can go and do loops there if you want.
It's an 11-mile loop, right? That's
7-mile, yeah.
All right. Well, go ahead. What were you saying, John?
No, we're at the end of the program. Thank you very much, Tanya. You did a great job. And thank you, Frank, for keeping us all online here. And we'll be back.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. 88.5 Tampa, the Sustainable Living Show.
Bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
You say black, I say white. You say bar, I say bite. You say shark, I say
him. And George was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars.
You say Rose,
I say Roy.
You say God,
give me a choice.
You say Lord,
I say Christ. I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein, or Superman.
All I wanna do is
live from in-